Welcome, everyone. I'm John Melke, and it is a real pleasure to be joined by Community Engagement Coordinator at Visioning a Greater Racine, Trevor Young. Trevor is a 2017 graduate of UW-Milwaukee. He earned his Bachelor of Arts in the Urban Studies program and earned an Urban Planning Certificate. Trevor is also a City Plan Commissioner for the City of Racine and served as Vice President of Student Affairs for the UW-Milwaukee Student Association during his time at the university. Trevor, glad you could be with us on Parkside today. What is Visioning Greater Racine?
Well, first off, John, thank you so much for welcoming me on the show. Visioning Greater Racine is a grassroots nonprofit that for a year and a half reached out to the community asking one question. By the year 2030, we've created a flourishing community we're proud to call home. What does that look like? Mm-hmm. And so from senior centers to high schools, from community centers, from the heart of the city out to the suburbs, we asked small groups of 10 that question. And so they came together and after brainstorming ideas as broad as ending racism in our community to as specific as a metro extension from downtown Kenosha to downtown Racine up to Milwaukee, mm-hmm. We had over 1,300 people participate in that process with over 4,000 unique ideas that came out of those community discussions. Mm-hmm. And so after that visioning process, we had a review team of volunteers who also came from the community who reviewed that data over that year and a half process of asking people what they want to see for the future. And they came up with 11 themes that came out of that process.
Okay.
And so those themes range from revitalization and thriving economy to healthy, productive lives and culture and recreation. So we have 11 themes, which result in 11 teams that are wave teams. So those are work, action, vision, engagement teams. Mm-hmm. So those teams are made up of folks in the community from the faith-based community to labor, to business, to the education sector, to people in local government, and people who are just concerned residents who want to make a difference. Mm-hmm. And so Visioning a Greater Racine's boundaries are from the county lines, from the lake, and then to the interstate, so Eastern Racine County.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you have your municipalities that include Mount Pleasant, Sturtevant, Elmwood Park, North Bay, Wind Point, and the city of Racine.
Okay. And what was the genesis? How did Visioning a Greater Racine come about?
Well, that's an excellent question, John. So Tom Bueller is the founder of Visioning a Greater Racine. So he is an owner of a local manufacturing company in Racine, and he was looking to attract skilled workers. And so he wanted to keep his company in Racine because his father started it, and he wanted to continue the tradition of being committed to the community, but he wanted to make sure that he had workers who wanted to live in this community.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only is it good for his business, but it's good for the greater Racine community.
Right.
And so he said, how can we attract people and retain people to live, play, and work in Racine? And mm-hmm. so he did his homework on movements across the country that were meant from the bottom up to improve those communities. So okay. he stumbled upon Chattanooga, Tennessee, which a long time ago, probably in the 1970s, 1980s, went through a similar visioning process where the organization Chattanooga Venture, under the direction of Dr. Eleanor Cooper, created a movement that really transformed their community and really empowered people who are residents to make a real difference. And so Tom saw that model and said, how can we build on this? How can we make it unique to Racine? Mm-hmm. And so the research continued. And so he reached out to other members of the community asking if they would be interested in something like this. And there was a resounding level of support from every sector that I mentioned previously.
Mm-hmm.
And so that continued research led them to Rockford, Illinois. And so they traveled to Rockford and met with the organization Transform Rockford, which was doing something similar. So instead of that happening in the 1980s, it happened 3 years prior to us beginning our adventure here in Racine. And mm-hmm. so you really saw this transformation process a while ago in Chattanooga to something that was currently happening just a few years ahead of us in Rockford. So we were able to look at what worked in both places mm-hmm. And apply that here in Racine. And so Rockford did an absolutely incredible job 3 years ago at engaging the community, making sure they were a part of what they call spoke teams. And so those spoke teams really revolved around the same issues that we have in Racine because the character of the communities are so similar. And so they saw a real transformation. They saw 100% occupancy of their downtown storefronts, which was the first time that they saw that since the 1950s. And so there were some really exciting things that had happened in Rockford that they accomplished as a community together, not waiting for, you know, a large, you know, employer to come in and save the day, not waiting for, you know, one galvanizing leader, but just residents coming together saying, we want to make a difference in our community. And so it really works when you align community efforts and when you make sure that the community's on board for what you wish to accomplish.
Sure. Working with other communities, talking to other communities that have either been through this process, are in the middle of the process, do you find some are more willing to share than others, or is it a pretty cooperative effort where, hey, here's what we're doing, and this could help you, and it's not as competitive, more cooperative than competitive?
Oh, absolutely. I think that the really beautiful thing about this work is that the people who recognize its importance are naturally collaborative individuals. And so you'll have people from these different communities who will be excited that their model is being used in other communities, and they want to see this type of empowering infrastructure of a community applied in other places. Mm-hmm. So Rockford's an excellent example, because you could easily say Racine, Rockford, both mid-sized, deindustrialized communities that are competing in a 21st century economy, why would they work together to amplify each other's efforts?
Yeah.
But what we've found is that there's a real commonality of spirit and a real excitement to see this type of effort applied in other places, because at the end of the day, it's about making people's lives better, regardless of zip code. And so it's really exciting to see us model our effort after other communities and also make it unique to Racine. Because we have unique challenges that other communities don't have. And so to take those challenges and to analyze them through the perspective of residents, and then to apply policy prescriptions or efforts differently, you really can see what makes Racine unique and stand out.
So some of the challenges, you touch on that a little bit. Did the challenges or identifying the challenges come first, and then when you're talking to the 1,300 people that you've reached out to, or did the challenges, are they a result of those conversations?
Well, John, that's another excellent question. You're really on a roll.
Okay, we'll kill the show right here, right now, because I got two good questions.
There you go.
So there probably won't be three.
That is so funny. So what was really exciting is that the question that we asked, you know, by the year 2030, we've created a flourishing community. We're all proud to call home. What does that look like? Means that people have to think about possibilities, not problems. They have to think about, you know, what is to come and the excitement of the future instead of the mistakes that were made in the past or the challenges that people have confronted previously. And so it's less about our deficits and more about our assets. And when you have people sit in a room thinking creatively about the future and thinking about what they want to see, you know, in the next 10, 20 years, you have that real positivity that gets people excited. You know, if we all sat in a room and talked about all the challenges that our community faced, that might be an important process in terms of reflecting, but we want to actually solve problems, and we want to make sure that we're tapping into the potential of the community. And so having that positive framework is certainly the way that we decided to approach this work.
So your background at UWM, urban planning, student association, kind of lends itself to this. How does Trevor get connected to visioning a greater Racine?
Oh, well, that's another good question. See, there we go. We have three.
Okay, we got three. Okay, we can keep the show going.
So, my background really inspires me to do this work at a personal level. So I was born in Russia in 1995, and I was adopted by a single father who's a third generation Racinian in 1997 from an orphanage in Krasnodar, which is a city bordering the Black Sea. Okay. And so my dad saved this young man, this child, this toddler, from an orphanage halfway across the world and brought me to Racine, Wisconsin.
Wow.
And so all of the opportunities that I've ever been afforded, whether it be a beautiful neighborhood, whether it be a supportive family, whether it be a you know, a progressive culture that has always surrounded me. I've always been very grateful for that because of where I could have been. Mm-hmm. And so understanding that this community has given me everything that I have, you know, I wanted to go to school for something that would give me the skills to come back to Racine and make a difference.
Sure.
And so I decided to go to UW-Milwaukee for urban studies and urban planning, mm-hmm. and with the intention of moving back to Racine after getting my degree to apply the skills that I learned in university. Because it really is just about service. It's not about, you know, climbing, you know, the career ladder, but it's about going back home and mm-hmm. trying to do something to improve the lives of people who've, you know, made my life something I could have never imagined.
Did you know about visioning a greater Racine, or was that something new that kind of came to you?
So while I was in college, I had continued to be connected to the community through volunteer work and different capacities. And so I was connected with Tom Buehler, the founder of the organization, and Tammy Hayward, who is one of our founding board members, through different work. And they had talked about visioning a greater Racine, and I fell in love with the idea. Mm-hmm. And they asked me to serve on the board. And so I was on the board before I was the community engagement coordinator for the organization. And so being able to see the work from the board perspective, and then now being able to see the work from the perspective of somebody on staff, it's really been able to help amplify the work that we're doing. And so I couldn't do this without the power of the community, though. There are so many volunteers. We have over 300 people who are signed up to be on our 11 different WAVE teams. And so if it weren't for their effort, their commitment, and their passion, we would be at square one. And so I'm just in awe anytime I go to work and we go into these meetings and I see the, you know, volunteer effort that people are bringing to this movement. And so mm-hmm. I'm really excited about it.
Sure. What about the process of getting in touch with 1,300 people? How does that start? How did that come about? How did you get in touch with people or get people to want to engage with visioning a greater Racine?
That's a great question. Another great question.
We're up to four. Who's counting?
Yeah, we're keeping track.
Yeah,
so the process is really going where the people are. You know, you can't mm-hmm. sit back and, you know, hand out flyers and hope people come to you. You have to go where the people are. And so that means having your meetings across the community from all of those places that we've mentioned, whether they be, you know, Case High School for one of our launch events or the hospital. We made the locations of our WAVE team, you know, generation of ideas very intentional. And mm-hmm. so we went where people were. And as our WAVE team groups continued to meet, we wanted to make sure that we continued that process by being present in the community. So we're really a lean, mean organization where it's myself and our executive director. And so our capacity as a staff to reach out to everybody requires the hundreds of volunteers that we have. And so, mm-hmm. again, very grateful for them to be a part of this, whether it be planning events on Monument Square to get families out to sponsor activities for them, which is something our Culture and Recreation WAVE team has done, to our, you know, neighborhood cleanups, which is something that our Revitalization WAVE team has done. So being present in the community where people see the work that we're doing is also bringing more people to the table.
How does the conversation start? You get people together. How do you begin that dialogue to identify the strengths, the weaknesses, the opportunities, the challenges of the community?
So the process of visioning is actually formulaic. You know, we bring, you know, all these people together from all different backgrounds, and we ask that question, and then we have a round robin of ideas. So you'll have people go, you know, they'll take, you know, probably 5-10 minutes to silently generate ideas. So everybody will be handed a note card. They'll be able to write down what they'd like to see for the future of Racine. And then what we do is a round robin where we go person to person, and on a whiteboard, we write down every single idea word for word, because it's not going to be us saying, oh, what you meant is blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It's going to be the words of the community and validating that and honoring what they had to say. And so after breaking up into groups, depending on how many people are in the room, we bring in small groups of 10, and then we do that round robin process. And then after exhausting all of the ideas that that brainstorming came up with, we ask that group to then rank their top five. Then from there, what we do is each individual ranks their top five, and that turns into a top five for that group. Okay. So, if we had, 1,300 people who participated in the visioning process, that means, 130 groups of 10, and that means 130 top fives, which mm-hmm. translates to our 11 themes that we have with right. projects underneath each theme. And so what's really exciting is you see the very people who participated in the visioning process now on these wave teams mm-hmm. and new people who are now working to implement the ideas of the community.
As you talk to this, I think 1,300 sounds like a fairly large group of people to get input from. Mm-hmm. I not being involved in the visioning process, I'm not sure if it is or not, if you compared it to Rockford, but it sounds like a significant group. Did you see similar themes in terms of where are the strengths of the community? Where are things that we need to address, to work on?
Yes. So there are, you come in with your preconceived notions. What are the things that, Racinians are going to say about this? And as somebody who went to school for urban studies and urban planning, I was really excited to be a part of the visioning process, because mm-hmm. here we are in my classroom talking about, these issues that confront cities. Mm-hmm. And now here we are talking to residents in my hometown about what they want to see for the future. And so it was really exciting to compare the academic nature of urban America to what are people saying about what they want to see for their hometown. And so I was very grateful to be a part of that process. And some of the things that obviously came up, I think are obvious, are opportunity. Everybody wants an opportunity to be successful. And mm-hmm. so Racine, being a place that has the highest unemployment rate in the state of Wisconsin, stubborn poverty, we have to make sure that we're guaranteeing that opportunity for everyone. And so that was expressed in the visioning process. And the key word there is everybody. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that no matter where you are, where you come from, what your background is, that you have a seat at the table, and that you're a part of making a difference, and that you can realize, your potential. And I think that if individuals are able to do that, then the community is able to do that. And then we've reached where we need to go.
And a week or so ago, I heard you talk about what you saw as some of the strengths of the community. Can you share those with us?
Absolutely. So Racine is centrally located between Milwaukee and Chicago. We have a historic downtown. We have award-winning architecture with Frank Lloyd Wright. We have one of the top 10 freshwater beaches in the United States. We have a diverse population. We're large enough where you can discover new things, small enough where you know your neighbor. We're known as Invention City for more patents per capita than any other city in the United States.
That was really interesting. Being a somewhat lifelong resident of Racine, I had not heard that one.
Yeah.
But it makes sense with all of the manufacturing and innovation that's gone on over time in the city.
I mean, the history of this community is just fascinating. Racine is the second oldest municipality in the state of Wisconsin, and we were the first community on Lake Michigan to connect the Great Lakes to the Mississippi River by rail. Mm-hmm. And so there was more economic energy in this community than really anywhere else in the country at one point. And mm-hmm. there were more people, coming here, many of whom were immigrants who made Racine their home, who built that 20th century economy. Mm-hmm. Whether it be the small, motor engine, whether it be a candy cane crank. So there were things as transformative as the blender and the hair clippers to fun as the candy cane crank, which was technology used to mass produce candy canes, all invented in Racine. And so it was beautiful to learn about that history and to think of the opportunity that we have ahead to tap into that spirit once again.
When you're talking to different people in the community, do you see or hear different perspectives based on the person's age. Someone who is a little younger, maybe new to the community, versus someone who may be have a little bit more age and be a longer resident of the community.
Well, that's key, because when we're looking about, when we're looking at what are ways that we can make the community a place that is going to be thriving as we move into the future, we've got to listen to people who are going to call Racine home in the future. Right. And so those individuals are talking about creating a vibrant atmosphere for young adults. Those are people who are talking about public transportation and making sure that transportation services meet the needs of everyone, whether they be skilled labor that is choosing to live in a community that provides those services, mm-hmm. or whether it be people who rely on public transit to get to and from work. And young people recognize the value of that and have asked for that in Racine. Mm-hmm. And so the interesting thing with the people who've participated in our visioning sessions are that you have those different perspectives based on where they come from. But at the same time, everybody wants pretty much the same thing, which is opportunity. They want quality education. They want, a vibrant atmosphere in their commercial districts. They want safe neighborhoods. They want people to have services if they need them, you know, if they're sick, to be treated. And so there are so many things that really are common, regardless of, you know, who you're talking to.
Right.
And something that made me very proud of Racine and residents who participated in this process is the empathy that I witnessed. Racinians, because of the diversity that exists in our community, really have the capacity to look around and think, you know, what does my neighbor need? And what does success look like for everybody here? And so that topic of equity came up a lot in the visioning sessions, and that made me very proud to be a part of this community.
Mm-hmm. Was it difficult? I would think it would be, to take the ideas of 1,300 people and kind of boil those down, focus those in on 11 goals and now 11 wave teams.
Oh, absolutely. The review process for the data was not a simple task because it was a real question of, well, doesn't this fit into this theme? Does that theme have to stand alone? You know, should we have, a good example of that is revitalization and thriving economy. So our revitalization wave team is dedicated to creating an atmosphere of success in our commercial and neighborhood districts. So that team is working on neighborhood cleanups. That team is working on bringing people into different commercial districts and experiencing them. That team is dedicated to working on murals to create a unique sense of place in Racine.
Mm-hmm.
While our Thriving Economy Wave team is currently looking to put on a large tech prize event, which by the year 2020, we hope, will attract people from across the country to come to Racine to look at different innovative ideas in terms of technology. So those two teams, which were initially considered to be very similar, have two very different missions as groups now. And so we're very grateful that through that rigorous review process of the data, that we were very intentional about creating these 11 teams.
Mm-hmm. And how, as you've created the 11 teams, how do you move forward with those teams?
It's about community ownership. So as staff, our job is to make sure that our volunteers are in a position to be successful and honoring the words of the community. So what's exciting is we have, chairs and co-chairs, people who are volunteering their time to lead these different initiatives. So we have people who own small businesses. We have people who are retired. We have people who are educators, who are, and you name it, from whatever background they come from, who are volunteering their time to make this effort successful.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I look forward to in an effort like this is ownership of change. You know, this is not the Trevor Young show. This is about people in the community using a tool at their disposal, which is the infrastructure created by Vision Integrator Seen to make a difference from the bottom up. Yeah. And that's what we really rely on, that type of social responsibility that exists within the community.
That was one of the things that in the fact that I have the opportunity to spend some time with Chelsea Collier, who was a keynote speaker at the Smart Future Summit a few weeks ago here at Parkside. And we were talking about a challenge, and I forget exactly how the conversation went, but at the end of it, she said, you know, it's all about turning concern into ownership.
Mm.
That if you're concerned about something, maybe someone's not just going to come along to fix that concern. You may have to get involved and take ownership of what you're concerned about to reach a positive solution. I thought that was a really different way of looking at, I'm concerned about something. Okay, then I need, how can I get involved? How can I work to get past that, or to create a solution for that concern?
The Smart City Summit at Parkside, for me, was a transformative experience personally. I was able to see a group of, how many people attended that, John?
A little over 200.
200 people from the tech sector, from local government, from educational institutions, come together to have a conversation about what do cities look like in the 21st century.
Yeah.
And there is really a combination of the data that came out of the visioning process for Visioning and Greater Racine, and then what people who are experts in the field talking about what cities look like in the future. And combining those two was really enlightening for me, because you have people who are content experts,
mm-hmm.
people who are experts in the field, who are talking about what the future is going to look like. And then you have people who are context experts, who have that lived experience. And so to combine the two, which I think we have the opportunity to do as Visioning a Greater Racine works with our community partners to bring Racine into the 21st century as a competitive mid-size regional power.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see the two work together.
That partnership that you just touched on, Visioning Greater Racine, RCEDC, RAMAC, City of Racine, Racine County, how do all these players work together?
Equals at a table. Mm-hmm. That's how. And it's interesting to think about, having somebody from the mayor's office, having somebody from the county sit at the table with a retired volunteer, and everybody's opinion matters the same. And mm-hmm. that's what's beautiful about this process. When we're all at the table together and we're working on what projects and what initiatives are we going to move forward with in order to honor the words of the community, that hierarchy doesn't exist. And breaking down those barriers and breaking down those silos and connecting people from all different sectors without that status getting in the way is really cool. As somebody who is just entering this type of work, it again makes me proud of Racine that we have the capacity to do such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
We have, for example, we have the director of city development. We have one of the planners for Mount Pleasant. Mm-hmm. We have some activists in the Racine Interfaith Coalition, a local business owner, and people of different backgrounds on our transportation wave team, which is now working with the county's transportation task force to recommend transportation changes for Foxconn. And so this group is sitting down talking about what the community had to say about transit, whether it be adding an express bus and a commuter bus to meet the needs of the growing economy, or whether it be about thinking regionally about, mm-hmm. Funding these structures that we're going to have to, provide in order for the region to be successful.
Right.
And so you have all of these people from all of these different backgrounds who are part of this process. And when we go to the county task force, where you have the mayor, the county executive, and all of our municipal leaders east of the interstate, we're able to bring those recommendations from the community and from the WAVE team to have a conversation about what that's going to look like. And that is so exciting, because now it's not just about Sewer PAC and the Department of Transportation making recommendations to these municipal leaders, but it's about these municipal leaders having the insight of this grassroots organization,
yeah.
that is looking at data from what the community had to say. And so they're really, I think, getting the big picture and the full picture of what we need to do moving forward.
Right. And you mentioned the word, and you also said big picture. And in the past year, the big picture has gotten a lot bigger because of Foxconn.
Right.
As the person who's helping to drive Visioning Greater Racine, as the process of Foxconn coming to the area starts to develop, and yes, they're here and they're going to do this. What was that like for you? What did you think about as that was that kind of coming into being?
You know, Foxconn is a unique circumstance for this community, and the reason I say that is because we need to think about the impact on residents. Mm-hmm. We need to think about the impact on people who have called this community home, instead of looking at how are we going to make Racine work for Foxconn, we have to talk about how we're going to make Foxconn work for Racine.
Mm-hmm.
And so that question leads to discussions on all of our different wave teams about how this change is going to impact Racine. And so whether it be about confronting issues like human trafficking, which may be a concern with a growing, mm-hmm. With a fast-paced growing region, or talking about championing that type of technology that's going to be coming into the community and creating community ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether it be about addressing the challenges that are going to be newfound, or whether it be about taking advantage of those opportunities and really taking us to the next level, that is going to be the discussion that revolves around Foxconn. Now, our visioning process happened before the Foxconn announcement, mm-hmm. and so it's interesting to see what the atmosphere is like with this new development coming.
Yeah.
I think that there is a lot of optimism associated with this new development, and I think that there is... people who really are nervous, mm-hmm. about what this right. change is going to bring.
Right.
And so our job is to make sure that everybody has a seat at the table and to make sure that these changes don't happen without the community having a voice, because change is inevitable with something like this happening.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this opportunity is a chance for Racine to set itself apart from communities across the country and market this community as a forward-thinking community that takes advantage of opportunity and that takes all of the promise that comes with a development like this,
mm-hmm.
and champion and makes it work for everybody. Because at the end of the day, this is also going to be about equity. Because the last thing we want is this tech company to come in, employ people who already have these skills, who don't necessarily live in our community, to then take the resources that exist here and not, you know, introduce benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want to make sure is that people who are from Racine, who live in Racine, who call Racine home, have access to those opportunities,
right.
and that we increase the quality of life in Racine in order to make those very skilled people who are going to be attracted to this this economic opportunity to choose Racine as their home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a complex situation, and we have to do our job to make sure that everybody's at the table.
Well, it sounds like you guys have a really interesting initiative going on. I'm very excited to see how it evolves over the next few years, and to know that you're out there in the community talking to members of the community and taking that input. You know, that's key. It's not just something that is sitting around and thinking up some idea. It's getting that voice, getting those voices, mm-hmm. plural, from the community and helping to drive that vision. So, Trevor Young with Visioning Greater Racine, we appreciate having you on Parkside today, and good luck with the vision.
Well, thank you so much for the time today, John. And it's always great to be with some Rangers on Parkside's campus.
Well, we'll have you come back in a while and give us an update on Visioning Greater Racine. I think that'd be fun.
Absolutely. I'd love to.
Okay, thank you.